This is 103.3 WZND's Bird's Eye View, here to give you a comprehensive look at the Bloomington Normal community's most important issues. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND news team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Bird's Eye View starts now.
Hello and welcome to the March edition of Bird's Eye View. In this month's episode, we're taking a look into the various avenues of creativity on ISU's campus. We'll hear about the inner workings of campus art, filmmaking, a cappella groups, theater, and dance. I'm your Bird's Eye View producer, Colleen Holden.
I'm your co-host, Gavin Broderick.
I'm co-host Luke Biondi.
And I'm your last co-host, Ben Howell.
How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing good, too. I'm really excited to explore the offerings of ISU's artistic programs.
Same here. I can't wait to dive deeper into the community of art here at ISU.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. We have a great show coming up shortly, but before we begin, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is campus creativity.
The arts is a large and encompassing field of activities and projects. Typically, one might think of the fine arts, like painting, drawing, and all the variations of them.
If you're anything like me, the first thing you think of when you hear the word art is an art gallery. WZND's Joey Della Hunty talks about an art gallery right here on campus.
While walking down Beaufort Street in Uptown Normal, there's a building that might catch your attention. It's large and cylindrical, invoking a coliseum with its pillars and shape. Massive square windows stretch floor to ceiling, letting passerbys stare in. This building's visual appeal doesn't end on the outside, though, because this is University Galleries. Kendra Pates, director and chief curator of the gallery, talks about its history.
We were founded in 1973, and we were located in the south end of campus in the Center for Visual Art. There actually used to be a university museum. I don't know the full history of that, but the galleries, since they were founded in 73, have focused on student and faculty artwork, as well as bringing external artists in from around the country and then increasingly from around the world to share their work here at ISU and in the community.
Finding artists for the gallery is a long process. Pates personally has a focus for interdisciplinary artists who incorporate aspects from other fields. However, Pates also wants to showcase artists who otherwise might not get the opportunity.
A lot of the artists that I work with are also coming from populations that have traditionally been underrepresented in museums. You know, there are a lot of museums filled with a lot of cis white male artists. And so thinking about women and non-binary artists and queer and BIPOC artists. And so ideally when visitors are coming in here, they're seeing work that they can relate to or see some of their experience reflected.
With such a small team of curators, everyone is doing a lot. On a day-to-day basis, Pates is helping set up shows, writing grants and press releases, doing administrative work, and finding new artists. The wider focus, however, is always on the art.
One of the things we're known for nationally is giving artists their first large-scale solo exhibition and often the first book about their work. So when we're working with an artist, we're thinking about the exhibition we're making, but also ideally how we can create other opportunities for them.
As a part of the university, the galleries are always free to the public, which is something of a point of pride for the curators. Pates hopes the galleries can be a gateway into the arts for otherwise wary visitors.
A lot of individuals have their first in-person experience with contemporary art at our institution, and we want to make that a really welcoming experience. You know, some institutions are, I guess, they're just not very welcoming, and it can put people off from, you know, trying again or going to see some other work. And so being a free and open to the public facility is something that our whole team feels really passionately about. And so, yeah, I think really just trying to focus in on how we can create these free opportunities for people to hear other people's voices, share their own, and ideally have some new ways of understanding each other.
Contemporary museums and galleries often have a reputation of elitism or snobbery. In the public imagination, they're expensive and incomprehensible. At University Galleries, though, Pates and her team are showing the community a different way. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Joey Della Hunty.
I think Joey is exactly right when he talks about the gallery seeming pretentious or highbrow. I really appreciate how University Galleries is open to the public and offer an opportunity for artists to express themselves to the public.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that lowering the barrier of entry to be able to enjoy art is a very important aspect of the galleries as well. So many museums aren't really designed for the general public. So the existence of a public art gallery in a community like Bloomington Normal here is amazing.
Similarly, musical forms of art like a cappella have found their way into popular culture. It can be easily found in movies, television, and even extracurriculars at both universities and high schools. I had the chance to sit down with such a group here at ISU, the Clefhangers. Students seek out universities for a variety of reasons. Primarily, a prospective student seeks out programs a certain institution excels in. However, many students still come to a university with an organization in mind. For human development and family science major Camlin Taylor, an a cappella group was the RSO she had in mind.
So when I was looking into colleges, I was looking for schools that had kind of a good music life that wasn't necessarily like a class.
The Clefhangers stuck out to Taylor due to their well-rounded sound. She explains what the group made her interested in and why she chose them above others.
Me personally, I wanted to be in a mixed ensemble instead of all soprano alto or all treble four, like all one type of voice part. So Clefhangers, we have soprano alto, tenor, and bass, and a vocal percussionist. So I thought that that would be the best fit for me.
Like many RSOs on campus, members of the Clefhangers found a community in their group. Taylor expresses that found family dynamic she sees and how it's a benefit to all members of the group.
Some of the people I've met in this group I know are going to be my friends for the rest of my life. And just having that sense of like community and people that you know share the same common interests and the same love of music has been really helpful.
A cappella is far from the only extracurricular group on campus, much less the only musical one. What makes the Clefhangers different, according to Taylor, is both the uniqueness of the art form, but also the energy found in her group.
I feel like the bonds you make are just more healthy, and the energy surrounding everything is just so positive because everybody loves what we're doing and really wants to be there. So I think that like makes the biggest difference. I think it's also cool because like with a cappella, you don't use any instruments, so it's just like kind of like the next level.
Taylor sings alto too, one of the lowest registers commonly sung by the alto members of the group. As for the group's official organization, Taylor serves as the business director.
So I'm in charge of all of our finances. I'm in charge of our schedule, tour, any type of gig or performance that we do. I'm kind of the person that's coordinating everything for it.
One of the events that the Clefhangers participate in is official a cappella competition. Since ISU is in the Great Lakes region, the group competes against groups in Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and even Indiana in the International Championship of Collegiate A Cappella.
There's three rounds, the first one being the quarterfinal, which is what happened 2 weeks ago on February 24th. Here at ISU. So from there, there's 10 groups that compete, and the top two groups advance to what's called semifinals. Semifinals are typically held in Milwaukee.
The Clefhangers are 5 times ICCA semifinalists. In the semifinals this year, they achieved third in the Great Lakes region by a 13-point difference, so they will not move on to the national finals. Taylor said the group has never made it that far, but they certainly have that goal in mind. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Ben Howell. During our interview, Taylor brought up the 2012 comedy film Pitch Perfect, and I asked how accurate the film was to real-life a cappella. She described it as literally just like Pitch Perfect, from the format of their competitions even down to their practices.
There's still plenty more to talk about today. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is on community creativity on the campus of ISU. So far, we've covered art galleries and an a cappella group here on campus.
The Foxtail Film Festival is one of many ways that students can partake in creative expression. However, the event is not exclusive to students. Lauren Leisure from the news team sat down with a local filmmaker who submitted their work to the festival.
Illinois State University is not only known for its academic excellence, but also as a hub for local artistry and campus creativity, including filmmaking. The university's filmmaking community showcases a wide range of talent across various disciplines, from innovative student-led projects to collaborative efforts that blend traditional filmmaking with modern technology. This dynamic environment fosters creativity and serves as a testament to ISU's commitment to nurturing filmmaking talent within its student body and beyond. Foxtail Film Festival gives ISU students an opportunity to showcase this. Zach Nafine Lucan, Lincoln College film grad who had 3 of his films get into last year's festival, tells us more about the importance of creativity and filmmaking.
I think that it is the perfect form of expression because there's so many different outlets and there's so many different ways you can express that art, right? You can do it through the lighting. You can do it through the writing itself, the directing, the editing. There's different ways you can convey that emotion and to kind of get it off your chest. It can be very therapeutic.
Foxtail Film Festival provides a unique platform for a local artist to showcase their work within the community. In a region with limited film contests, this festival offers a rare opportunity for both local talents and artists from afar to present their creations, foster creativity, and build valuable connections.
To anybody out there in this area that wants to do work but isn't sure if they can or if there's anybody else out there that is doing it, well, there's, you know, somebody out there that can and is doing it, I should say. You know, I'm very, very, very happy that Foxtail Film Festival is a thing. I'm glad it's coming back for a second year. I think it's a great opportunity for, like, these young men and women. And I think part of the motivation to throw my work in there was to, you know, again, show that, hey, there's a community out there and that if you're looking to work with somebody, if you're looking to, you know, create with early to mid-20s, you know, they're right here.
Foxtail Film Festival gives those participating the opportunity to showcase work at Normal Theater, as well as network with fellow filmmakers.
This is why I want to do this, is to show my work at a beautiful theater and to show my work with, you know, fellow movie makers and film lovers or whatever. And, you know, everyone who was hosting last year, all the students and everyone at ISU was tremendous, very kind.
For aspiring filmmakers and creative enthusiasts hesitant to start their journey, the Foxtail Film Festival offers a welcoming opportunity for both newcomers and seasoned creators to take that crucial first step and gain valuable experience in the filmmaking world.
You just gotta start. You gotta pick up a pen, you gotta pick up the camera, you just gotta go out there and do it. Even if you don't have work in this festival, I think you should go. I think you should be in attendance to see what is out there and to grab motivation. And I think if you are a local artist, you know, that's in school or out of school, I think it's really important to, you know, throw your stuff in there. So
Foxtail Film Festival is just one of the many opportunities in Bloomington Normal to showcase local artistry and campus creativity. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Lauren Leisure.
Keeping creativity in schools is a commonly discussed issue. Hearing about creativity in communities was really refreshing and reinforced the universal importance of creative expression.
The Foxtail Film Festival provides a great opportunity for not only local filmmakers, but also for students on campus and in the town. Even students as young as high school age have submitted pieces before to be judged among other submissions. WZND's Jaden Cohn sat down with a graduate student involved in the festival to hear more about his creative process.
The Foxtail Film Festival will be held at the Normal Theater and will run from April 25th through the 28th. Partnering with students from Illinois State University, the festival offers the opportunity to showcase brands of creativity through the lenses of documentaries, narrative stories, or animation-based ones. Kieran O'Connell, a graduate student at ISU, will be displaying his documentary on esports taking place at a collegiate level.
Mainly focuses on video gaming at the casual, somewhat of the staff level, the actual collegiate level, and just interviews a few different people and gets their opinions on what video games are, why they play them, what they kind of get out of it, and if it's fun, connection-based, or if it's more of a job for them.
O'Connell explains that one of the main reasons behind the project is to spread awareness among the inclusivity that esports provides towards its users. Since esports is still in its young age, there is room for growth within the field. One of those goals is to spread awareness of women in the field, since they're often shadowed in the industry.
My micro documentary kind of focuses and kind of suggests that there's not a lot of female representation within esports, and just kind of throws out some numbers, gets some people's thoughts on why that might be.
The road to producing a film is not always a pleasant one. Setbacks create the backbone that shapes the journey the filmmaker will take in creating their project. Technicalities play a big part in developing creative features, and sometimes they don't always go as planned. O'Connell explains some of the hardships he faced while developing his documentary.
Anything that went wrong, you can list any of them, from the camera wasn't in focus to the camera shut off, the secondary camera shut off, the audio something in the background was making a noise, so I had to refilm it or re-edit it or really spend a lot of time figuring out how to make some things work.
Although the journey may be rough for a film producer, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Okano explains that he hopes others use his film as an education piece and wishes to learn from the other documentaries displayed at the festival. The
documentary is supposed to be, which is gamers exploring esports culture and inclusion. It's just intended for educational purposes, and it's really based on the understanding and knowledge of furthering gaming, esports culture, inclusion, and some related topics.
O'Connell and other candidates selected for the Foxtail Film Festival will inspire their intended audiences through various creative ways to influence future filmmakers. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Jaden Cohn.
It was nice to hear about how a filmmaker uses their art to present ideas like that. It provides viewers with the opportunity to think of social issues in ways they may not have tried before.
Local film festivals are also a great way for lesser-known filmmakers to get their big break. And it's great that our community has a way to create and present film projects.
We've got so much more right here on Bird's Eye View. You're listening to WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is campus creativity. Activities like art and filmmaking are rooted in behind-the-scenes work, the painting of the artwork, or the shooting of the film. Moving forward, we're going to be focusing more on groups whose work is based in performance.
The School of Theater and Dance at ISU is one of the university's leading programs, with the department's alumni being among the most notable ISU students. Leading ISU's School of Theater and Dance is Dr. Anne Haugo, who got her PhD in theater history from the University of Illinois. Additionally, the department helps ensure its student success by focusing on the post-graduation experience through networking and meetups. I sat down with Dr. Haugo to talk more about ISU's School of Theater and Dance.
Theater and dance are arguably two of the most expressive art forms, and undoubtedly the most physically engaging. However, participating in theater and dance can lead to more benefits than one would initially expect, according to Dr. Anne Haugo, the director of ISU's School of Theater and Dance.
I think the thing that people may not see from the outside of the discipline is the amount of collaboration that is required to put a show on the stage, to make a dance concert happen, all the players who are involved in that, and the kind of collaborative group work that is required of it.
While the School of Theater and Dance provides undergraduate students with a thorough education, the graduate division of the department punches well above its weight in performance, ranking among the top 100 programs of its kind in the nation, according to U.S. News & World Report. Haugo claims that the department's industry-leading graduate programs have an enormous effect on shaping the undergraduate experience.
Those MFA directors direct a large number of the shows that occur in our main stage season, and they are leading student teams every time they do it. There are other graduate students on the team, certainly, but there's usually a large number of undergraduates that they're leading through that process. So when I spoke of the collaborative process and the kind of work that it takes to put up a show, those MFA directing students are they're integral in the undergraduate experience.
Haugo says that student socialization and collaboration are a cornerstone of her department's curriculum, which can be demonstrated by the numerous collaborations between the undergraduate and graduate programs. She also claims that a collaborative approach to theater and dance education provides better results than a more individualized program would.
One of the things in terms of an outcome for the program is that they are often leaving the program with people that they'll work with for a good number of years in their careers. The majority of our students will go first to Chicago in the theater and film and television scene there, and then move on to LA or New York from Chicago after working for a few years. And actually, you know, the big name alumni that people associate with our program are all alumni who went from school to Chicago, got a foothold in their career in Chicago, and then made the journey to LA or New York.
Elaborating further on the impact of ISU's extensive alumni network in the sector, Howell claims that graduates of ISU's School of Theater and Dance are well equipped to start a career in the country's largest entertainment market.
We have LA-based alumni reunions. We just had one in September that are an opportunity for the alumni across the generations to meet each other. And get to know each other's work and that sort of thing. So we can kind of foster that in that area. We do the same in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've started to do alumni reunions on campus.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Luke Biondi. Among the most notable alumni of the School of Theater and Dance are the founders of Redbird Entertainment, an LA-based production company. Redbird Entertainment produces short films and TV shows for services such as HBO Max and Tubi.
Luke's piece really highlighted how the School of Theater and Dance is about performance. Just about everyone has been to some sort of theater production, but they may not have been to a dance recital.
Dance is one of the more physical forms of creativity, connecting the internal expression to the external. I sat down with Endurance Dance Team's president, Maddie Sapp, to discuss what makes dance different than the other avenues we've discussed so far. From pirouettes to parallel lines, dance is a medium of creative expression centered around technique, control, and musicality. Maddie Sapp is the president of the Endurance Dance Team here at ISU and had plenty to say about the multitude of ways dance affects the lives of dancers.
This happened right before spring break where I was like having a pretty rough day and then I had practice and I went and then I felt like 10 times better afterwards even though it was really late. It's just stuff like that.
In a world full of polarization and individuality, dance is an exclusive experience that cultivates a culture of support and companionship.
The culture of dance here is really supportive. We do a lot of collaboration with the other RSO dance teams, which I think is really great. We're all pretty different, but we all have like the one thing in common that we like to get together as just a chill thing, you know, a couple times a week.
Choreographing a piece is often compared to telling a story. Similar to writing, the process looks different for everyone. For Sapp, it's a fluid progression of inspiration and playing to the strengths of the other dancers.
For me, the process comes in bursts where it's like I come up with the song because I pick a song because I have a really good idea for it. And then in like spurts, I will try and do as much as I can while I'm like inspired kind of thing. Some people go out of order, but I do everything really linear. It's really fun to think about, you know, who you have in the dance and like how you can utilize their skills too.
There are many different avenues of self-expression and creativity. According to Sapp, what makes dance stand out is the external reflection of internal expression.
I think one really special thing about dance is that it's so physical because you put everything into like a painting or everything, but even just when I'm watching people dance is that you can see like how much time they put into practicing just for like 1 3-minute performance.
Yeah.
In a primarily academic environment like a university, dance allows its participants to put a fun spin on the way they express their creative sides. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Colleen Holden.
It was great to hear about the unique experiences of dancers. One great point that Sapp made was that collaboration is so necessary. Every dancer must operate as one piece of a fluid machine. However, there's a great sense of individuality involved. Dancers must find the balance between technique and performance while also putting on a smile for the audience. And all of this must be done at the same time and together with multiple people.
College campuses are highly academic environments with the goal of educating and preparing students for their future careers. However, ISU's campus would not be complete without all these organizations that allow students to think creatively. That wraps up this month's edition of Bird's Eye View. If you missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Thank you for listening to Bird's Eye View.
This has been WZND's Bird's Eye View. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Second Look and Bird's Eye View. For previous episodes, find Bird's Eye View on the podcast tab at WZND.com.